So today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Hear now these words. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he'll call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of this estate now before you die." So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. There he wasted all his money in wild living. About this time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him over to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the paws he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned alive. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. He asked one of the servants what was going on. 'Your brother is back,' he was told, 'and your father has killed a fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return.' The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. They replied, 'All these years I slaved for you, and never once you refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all this time, you never gave me even a young goat for a feast of my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing this fatted calf.' His father said to him, 'Look, dear son, you have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' My friends, as the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God." This morning, I want to speak to you for a few moments on lost and found. lost and found. Now, sometimes at Central, folks come in the library because they hear a rumor that I have the lost and found up there. I'm like, I don't have it with me. No, I have a clothes closet for wardrobe malfunctions and breakers of the dress code, but I don't have a lost and found. So the story starts off how that the tax collectors, the IRS, and other sinners are coming to listen to Jesus teach. And this upsets the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law. They were upset that Jesus was associating with these sinners, and he was eating with them. In the biblical culture, it was a great honor if somebody ate with you, invited you to eat with them. Now, you would think that the religious leaders would be like, praise be to God. For years, we tried to get these Pharisees and sinners to come in the synagogue, and they wouldn't. But this Jesus, he has such a charisma about him, such a magnetism about him, that these people whom we cannot reach out to, they will come to him and sit down and listen to him teach about the kingdom of God. You would think that they would be happy and rejoice about that. But instead, they were criticizing Jesus for that. And so Jesus is being criticized for hanging out with these rough characters. So Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story. I have a shepherd, and this shepherd has 100 sheep. But one sheep gets lost. You know, sheep aren't very intelligent. And so what does he do? He leaves the 99 behind and goes out looking for that lost sheep. And what does he do? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry home on his shoulders. In other words, he picks that sheep up, puts over his shoulders, and joyfully carries it home. And when he arrives, he calls his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. Now think about that. Okay, let's do some math here. If you lose one sheep out of 100, what percentage is that? 100%. 1/100th. All right. So that'd be 1%. Now, I was kind of curious. And so this morning before I came to church, I had a thought. And so, but I checked my school email from Friday. Okay. Now, Central has around 650 students. It fluctuates every day because folks come and go. But we got about 650. So 1%, okay, let's do the math. I get the math simple. I said 700, so 1% of 700 would be 7, okay? Now, on Friday morning, this emailed out, these are our folks who are absent or came in late at Central High School. Now, being a Friday, this one has lots of folks came in late. You see, it fills up a page and well over half, 3/4 of this page. On the first page, I went through and using my blue highlighter, I marked off the first 7 names. That'd be 1%. Now, what would happen over at Central High School if on Monday morning our attendance secretary ran the report and our absentee list was that long? Do you think they'd be upset about that? Well, no, they'd be rejoicing. Like, oh my goodness, this is a good day. Only 7 students are missing. And we probably know which 7 they are. No. They'd be happy and rejoicing. That's really good. But with this shepherd, it didn't matter that 99% of his sheep were there. He was still worried about that 1%, that one. You may look in your life and think, well, it's just me. It doesn't matter. God cares about that 1%. And so that shepherd goes looking for that lost sheep. And I suspect that sheep got himself into a situation he couldn't get out of. I remember back when I had a dog named Buddy, one Sunday we were walking along the river road in Calhoun, and He saw something and took off with his leash across the railroad tracks, up the bluffs, and down. And I thought, well, I'll just wait here. He'll come back around eventually. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. Nobody. So I thought, I first need to see what happens to my dog here, right? So I cross railroad tracks, climb up the bluffs, and start coming down. And, of course, he had to run through all the bushes and the briars and everything else. Okay, this wasn't no little hiking trip. This was, like, roughing it. And sure enough, at the bottom of the bluffs, I found Buddy. His leash got all tangled up on himself, and he couldn't go anywhere. He was stuck. And so I got him untangled and found a little place a little bit easier for me to climb up, and out we got. You know? But that's what you do with your pet, right? You go looking for him. The shepherd went out looking for this lost sheep, found him, and rejoiced. Jesus said, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. In other words, somebody come down this aisle this morning and repent and turn back to God, heaven rejoices and celebrates. Well, at this point, the religious folks are like, well, that makes sense, you know. If you're a shepherd, you go looking for lost sheep. Everybody nodding their heads. They're thinking, well, what does the guy do with all these tax collectors? So Jesus says, well, I have another story. It's about a woman with 10 silver coins. Now, what that was her dowry, okay? That'd be like, in our culture, ladies, that'd be like your engagement ring, okay? And so it's very important. Back in the 1950s, John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara made a great movie called The Quiet Man. I'm sure some of you have seen that movie. And the part of that story is that John Wayne's character, he was born and lived in Ireland as a child, moved to the United States, became a famous boxer. In the boxing ring, he accidentally kills someone. So he gives up boxing, goes back to Ireland. He says, I'll never fight again. He gets his old childhood home back. And his next door neighbor is a rough guy. And his sister is Maureen O'Hara. And of course, Maureen O'Hara, she was this gorgeous redheaded actress from that time. And so they get married. Well, then the brother gets angry and says, I will not hand over her dowry, you know, the money involved with this. And John Wayne, scared of being John Wayne, says, we don't need it anyway. But for me, Maureen O'Hara being Irish, you know, that was an insult. That was for her, you know. And so she was mad at him and said, you need to go there and take him home, beat him up, get my diary, you know, and he wouldn't do it. And so he had this conflict, you know. And at one point, the John Wayne character is talking to the pastor, the Protestant pastor. And he's explaining about the issue. And he says, you got to understand, though, see, in her culture, that means a lot. And you're her husband, you know. You got to figure out a way to get that diary back. Okay, well, here in our culture, ladies, that'd be your engagement ring. Now, imagine you go home. Where's my ring at? What would you do? You start cleaning the house, wouldn't you? You start dusting and cleaning. You get organized. You might get scared, go through the trash can, make sure it didn't fall off. You might even have your husband do some plumbing, right? Make sure it didn't go down the sink. You'd be upset about that diamond, about that ring. And a true story about that from my world is that I think it was February 28th. I sit down to do my taxes. So here's all this paperwork, right? I had W-2 forms from here and there, and you know, and my receipts. Being a teacher, right? If you hold on the receipts, you get so much on taxes, you know, and so. I'm just sitting down, and I thought, what is this? And this is late at night, and there were these rings. So I just scoop them up and build them in the containers. They wouldn't get lost, and start working my taxes, okay? TurboTax. Start plugging this stuff in. And I didn't come out so hard on that. The IRS, they did really well that. Yeah. Well, that, like I said, that was late at night. I went to bed, and Well, then, it was there Saturday, Sunday night, I can't remember what it was, but I heard my mom fussing, carrying on. my dad, and she's like, well, I'll never find them. I think I just re-lost them this time. Now, I don't know what happened to those rings. And I went, oh, those are your rings that's on my table. And so, what's funny was she didn't ask me about them, okay? I just overheard her fussing about them. So I walked upstairs and went like this. And she jumped up and hugged me, like, oh my goodness, here's my rings. And she was carrying them. But see, she rejoiced. Those rings were very special to her. They weren't special to me. I scooped them up in the corner here in the container. But it meant a lot to her. And so she rejoiced and was excited about it. So Jesus says, in the same way, there's a joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So when the sinner repents, heaven rejoices. Religious folks like, well, we're talking about people. He's over here talking about sheep and coins, engagement rings, you know. What's it got to do with the tax collector over here? So Jesus says, that leads him to my third story. There was a father who had two sons. Okay. And then the younger son. Now, you know how it is with siblings, right? Usually the older sibling is the more mature one, makes the rules right. The younger one they get, they're the kind of the wild child. And if you're the middle child, you're just somewhere in between trying to stay out of the whole mess. So this is the youngest one out of the bunch, the younger son. He goes to dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance now. Now think about that. I want my inheritance now. Yeah. I mean, Herb, you got some siblings, don't you? That'd be like you go to Miss Maggie here. Miss Maggie, I want my inheritance right now. Do the math, divide by the number of siblings. I want my share right now. Now, that's easier said than done, right? I mean, you got to liquidate some stuff. But the dad goes along with this scheme. He goes through in this story and writes his son a check. And I read in one place, it'd be one, they think it'd be a third, you know, being the younger sibling, you know. Our culture, you know, it'd be half, so it was 50-50. But dad writes this kid a check, so all right, here you go. This is your money. Now, part of that sounds just kind of arrogant, like, Dad, no, I'm not getting any younger, and you're not dying anytime soon, so go ahead and give me my money. I want my inheritance. And dad says, okay. Here's your money. You know? And here's the deal. This is yours, and everything else goes to the big brother here. Now, the story could have gone a different direction, right? I recall how a few years ago, we had a candidate run for president, and depending on where you're a supporter or didn't like him, whatever, but you know, one of the things was he got $1 million from his dad and started his own company, right? And so some folks looked at that and said he was shrewd. And they were like, well, that's not fair. He had $1 million. But either way, though, he got $1 million and built a business. Wild child here, though, didn't do that, did he? He didn't go out and buy his own farm, his own ranch. He didn't go out and buy his own business. He didn't go out and buy a fishing boat or buy some sheep or cattle. He didn't do any of that. What did he do? A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land and wasted all his money in wild living. In other words, he went to Vegas. Now, he didn't go there to start a business. He went there having a good time. He was out there gambling, buying stuff, impressing folks, getting that nice brand new car off the lot, staying in the most expensive hotels. Probably had some wild women running around with him, some wild friends. He may have gotten into drugs and liquor. But there's only one problem with that, isn't there? The money ran out. Yeah, now we had spring break, you know, a few weeks ago. And isn't it funny how the paycheck went out a lot faster during spring? Yeah, you know. That's why we went back to work. But I was plugging in my receipts. My little software, you know, the financial software is like, dang, you see your gasoline money for this month? I'm like, oh, honey, it's going to be a bad month for gasoline. I went a lot of places, and it's not it's a lot more expensive than it was last month, you know. And you're eating out all the time, you're going places, and you're buying a souvenir or a gift for your nephew. And, yeah, the money goes out fast. His money runs out. And on top of that, a great famine swept over the land. In other words, there was a recession. He began to starve. Well, hey, where's your friends at? Well, his friends, quote unquote, they just left him. Yeah, remember that old country song, you got the time, I got the money. Well, you got the money, I got the time. Well, he ran out of money, they didn't have time for him. His friends up and left this kid. He got kicked out of the fancy apartment. The car got repoed. He had to pawn his clothes off, the fancy clothes. He had to go out job hunting. He got so desperate that he got hired to feed the pigs. Now, to us, that's not a big deal, right? But remember, this guy's Jewish. When you're Jewish, that's about as low as you can go. He's down at Pigs R Us, working maximum hours, minimum wage. And he is such in the financial straits at this point, he's still hungry. And he's tempted to eat the pig food, that pig slop. I mean, he's at rock bottom here. He goes, man, that's been, that little pig slop looks good this morning, man. I'm hungry. And no one gave him anything. No one has anything for him. Well, that should be the end. And the Pharisee said, that was a good story, Jesus. We liked that. That little brat had it coming to him. But this story, though, has some twists and turns to it. It's like the Twilight Zone. But when he finally came to his senses, ladies and gentlemen, there has to come a time in our lives when we come to our senses, when we wake up and realize we got ourselves in a mess. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. You know, earlier we read a psalm where King David says, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. This boy realized, I have sinned against my father. My father worked hard all those years, built up the family farm through some hard times. I go to him, ask for my inheritance right here, right now. He gives it to me. And what have I done with it? I've blown it. I got nothing to show for it. Nothing. That's what this boy do. He doesn't have any money. So he starts hitchhiking his way from Las Vegas back to McMinn County. I mean, when he left in style. Nice car, nice clothes. When he came back, he was that guy you saw down the street with the backpack and scruffy looking, raggedy clothes he'd been sleeping in, making his way back to the family farm. And the whole time he's reciting, he's like, Dad, I'm sorry, I disgrace you. And Dad, can I just have a job on the farm here? Just give me a farm, make me a farmhand. But what happens? While he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. In other words, he got to the highway there, on the country road, and there's a family farm. And so he started walking down. You know how farms are. The farmhouse is way over here, right? You know, got all that fence you got to walk. But while he's coming, Dad saw him. What did Dad do? The boy was walking, but Dad came running. Dad ran down the road, down that driveway, to his son and gave him a big old bear hug. Okay. He embraced him and kissed him. And so Junior here is saying, Father, no, he's giving his little elevator speech. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer be called your son. That's where he gets with it. He can't get any further. Dad tells him to shut up. Dad tells one of the farmhands, quick, bring me the finest robe in the house. In other words, he came in wearing those rags. Give my son some clothes here. And get on him. Put a ring on his finger. You know, that family ring, the emblem, shows he's one of us. Why? Because he took his and he pawned off the pawn shop. Look at these raggedy shoes he's wearing from hitchhiking. So go get him a new pair of boots. And by the way, we're going to have us a block party here tonight. Tell all the neighborhood we're having a feast. My son was dead, and now he's returning alive. He was lost, but now he was found. So, son here is kind of like, well, Dad, I want to apologize, but Dad won't have anything about it. Dad's over here playing a big old party for the whole neighborhood. Meanwhile, number one was down in the field working. And so he gets through the end of the day. He's tired. He's coming home. So he pulls up to the farmhouse, and what does he hear? He hears party music, doesn't he? Son pulls up like, what's going on over here? And he calls one of the farmhands, what's all this? Oh, we're having a big old party tonight. What for? It's your little brother. He's coming back home. What do you mean he's coming back home? I thought he was going to stay where he went. All right, we're good now. I appreciate Josh back there. I mean, that was like very, I had that thought last night, and he's kind of pulled that up for me there, you know. He's a great DJ, you know. He does Alan Jackson, Hee Haw, and Cool in the Gang there. So thank you so much. Yeah, but Big Brother shows up. He hears all this music, like, what's this? You know, he's been out in the fields all day working. Little brother's coming back home. We're having a big block party. Do what? I thought he was going to stay gone. And he refuses to go inside the house for the party. So here's all the neighbors and friends inside the house having a good old time. And Big Brother's outside in arms crossed. Well, who brings all this together? The father. The father comes out and says, no, son, come on in, join us. We're having a good time. Join the party. And the son is mad at him and lets him have it. He says, Dad, all these years I slept for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all this time, why, you didn't even bought me a pizza for I had a little pizza party with my buddies. Yet, when this son of yours, not my brother, but when this son of yours, he comes in, squandering your money on prostitutes, you throw a block party and invite the whole neighborhood over, you know. So, number one's upset. He's mad about this. And his dad, though, doesn't get upset with him. His dad says, look, dear son, you've always stayed with me. And everything I have, all this is all yours. You know, it's not his. He don't get any. He had his. All this is yours. But we had to celebrate this happy day. Your brother was dead, and now he's come back to life. He was lost, and now he's found. Sad part is, got a lot of folks in the church house like the Big Brother, aren't they? In the service, pastor calls invitation. They start singing, Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. And then somebody walks down the aisle and they think, what's he doing here? He got arrested last week for doing drugs. I read all about the DPA. What's he doing here with us? Or, what's she doing here? Did you hear what she got herself into at the party last week? It was all over social media. What's she doing here? But your Heavenly Father says, I don't care about that. My heart's big enough to forgive you. My arm's big enough to hold you. My kingdom big enough to put you to work. I don't care about all that crazy stuff you got into. I'm just glad you're back home. But you're here with us. He once was lost, but now he's found. Do you know a song that has lyrics like that? Yeah, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And so this morning, who are we in this story? Are we like the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son? We got ourselves in position and got lost. I got some good news for you. Jesus is softly and tenderly calling, come home. And your response needs to be, Lord, I'm coming home. Or maybe we've always been faithful. We've been in church. We've been learning the Lord's work. And there's a little bit of bitterness and resentment and jealousy getting built up because we see someone else screwing around and then they get busy with the Lord and thinking, where are they coming from? We don't need to be like that. We need to have compassion in our hearts, like, I'm glad he's back. I'm glad you're back. And then, importantly, as a church, we should be a happy place. Because what's the theme in all three stories? The shepherd says, rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep. The woman said, rejoice with me, because I found my lost coin. Dear old dad said, we had to celebrate this happy day. No, churches should not be like the funeral home parlor. We should not come in with doom, gloom, and despair. No, every time we come in and we know we're part of God's family, we should be happy. We should be rejoicing. And when someone comes in the church, gets saved, and dedicates their life, heaven is rejoicing, and we should be rejoicing as well. So this morning, I just want to encourage us to know that I know all of you are faithful, and I don't think any of you are lost. No, let's be grateful for that. We should celebrate that. And then if you're thinking, well, you know, I got a little bit of static in my heart, you know, a little some barriers, some sins I need to repent of. Well, that's fine, too. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you to come back and fix that fellowship. And so we're going to end with a hymn, Lord, I'm Coming Home. That's in our church hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 on page 153. Lord, I'm Coming Home, our church hymnal, page 153.